entertainer, and entrepreneur answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Larry Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Thursday, July 24th is your chance to be exposed to the American Adversaries Drive Time and the best in political professional wrestling on AM 660, The Answer, and blasting live from the Mercury Free Studio. My name is Lair Adams, and it is an honor to sit in front of this microphone and address the greatest listeners and guests in radio. No one has all the answers to solve this nation's problems. But this show is here to let you get involved with a search for the best answer. Speaking of answers, our host is the Answer Man, Christopher Hart.
And we are coming to you live on AM 660, The Answer. That's right, folks. We are the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time, and we are coming to you from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't you forget, for the best in Mercury Free dentistry, call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. And we have a great party going on, I should say, here in the studio today, because we have some great friends and parts of the American Adversaries family in with us. Of course, that was Lair Adams opened the show. I am Christopher Hart. Once again, we have Nick LeCicero on the bridge, so we are in good hands tonight. We have our man Lucas Paris manning the camera. He's shooting us live, so you can go to ustream.tv, type in American Adversaries, and wow, there we will be. You will be able to see all of us here in the studio. Not only Lair Adams and me, Christopher Hart, but you will also see our defense expert and foreign policy, one of our foreign policy experts, Colonel Danny McKnight, who is in the studio with us today. Hey, Colonel, once again, thanks for being part of the American Adversaries show.
I'm going to have to start doing this more often, though. I don't think once a month's enough for me.
I think we can bump that up to at least twice a month. I think we sure can. And we also have his lovely wife, Linda, in the studio with us today. We're all going to go over to Pet Cafe Positano afterwards. And we're going to be delighted because we'll also have in our company Mary Ganster, Operation Safety 91, who's in the studio with us today. Say hello, Mary, please.
Hello, everybody. You're at the right place at the right time.
Amen to that. And there's a great program that's going on. It's being produced by By Your Side Ministries. It's called One Nation Under God, and you are going to want to see this program, folks. If you're in this audience, you're going to want to see this program.
Right.
We're going to tell you when, where, and how shortly on our show. We got a lot to talk about today. Nostradamus will be joining us later on as well. And don't forget, we'll do today's episode of The Dumb and the Feckless at some point during the show today. But first, I want to go to Colonel McKnight. Colonel, first of all, I'd like to talk about what's going on in Israel, in particular in the Gaza Strip, because as I'm watching this, I oftentimes reflect and think about you, because, of course, you were the commander of the Ranger Battalion that was 21 years ago right now. You were in Somalia, in Mogadishu, more or less doing the same thing, were you not?
Well, in many ways, I guess you would have to say that, yes.
It was street-to-street, urban fare-type warfare.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it is of the most difficult kind, isn't it?
Well, it is, because you have so many civilians that are involved that are innocent civilians. And the same thing we ran into over there. We had to worry about women and children in the streets. And, when you're fighting in that manner and trying not to, hurt innocent people, it's very difficult. Especially when the bad guys don't care how they fight. And we had that situation, and I think that's what you have over there with the Hamas. They will surround themselves with civilians. Why? Because they're hoping they won't get shot at. Well, that's not the way Israel fights. And it's a shame, but it's the truth.
I think it's that, and I think for another reason, too, they're hoping that if there are shots fired, that the civilians would be killed.
Oh, exactly. That's what I agree. What they're hoping, yeah.
Yeah, to get the publicity.
That's right.
And it works to some extent, although it doesn't seem to be working quite so well this time around.
No.
But have you ever... I'm sorry, go ahead, Deborah.
I was just going to say, Colonel, you know about warfare. I got a problem... How do you tell soldiers that we're going to fight, but we're not sure what the goal is? I seem to see this all over our world right now. Is we're going to fight, we're going to step up, we're going to do something, but nobody has any clear goals. And how do you tell your military personnel you've got to go in, you've got to put your lives in danger, but we're not exactly sure what you're going to be doing there?
Well, that's stupid is what it is. And you have to have an end state that your soldiers understand. We went to Somalia. We had an end state. We knew what the end state was. It was to capture Mohammed Farah-Aidid, remove him from power over there, to allow the women and children and the other people that were friendly people, because they weren't all trying to kill us, to survive. And to do that, you take him out and any of his people that fostered what he did. We had a very clear end state. There was never any question in our mind about that, what the goal was. What I see, I think Israel has a very clear end state personally. I don't think the people they're fighting against have a clue except they're fighting. And I don't think they have an end state. So one does and one doesn't.
I don't think our president does either.
I was going to say, I think
our president had an end state in 6 years, so why is he going to start now?
He doesn't have a clue. That's why he avoids this stuff.
That's
like
the plague. He's campaigning right now for other people.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But, yeah, you guys, as a matter of fact, Black Hawk Down night incident was actually you guys had captured and successfully took back to quarters two of his top lieutenants.
Yes, we had at that point, we had one previously that we did with a convoy takedown. We got two more. We had three of the five people that he relied on. That's what you call close to getting your end state. Yeah. And, of course, we were never allowed to do another mission because, we had a prisoner that we had to get released.
Yeah, Durant, the pilot of the helicopter.
Exactly. Yes.
And once again, folks, we are live. If you would like to participate in the conversation, if you have questions or comments, in particular for Danny McKnight while he's here, take advantage of his expertise. 407-774-8255 is the number. Israel, to get back to that fighting over there, has gone the extra mile in trying to get the civilians out. By warning, they have several ways of warning. They drop leaflets. They go in there physically. They even have dummy warhead rockets that they'll fire into a house. But as you said, Hamas surrounds themselves with civilians. But nonetheless, isn't it something that Hamas over the years, what they have done to turn Gaza into a fortress? I mean, they have weapons in practically every house. They have tunnels all over the place. And I don't mean, we were talking with our man in Jerusalem the other day, Abe Katzman, and I kind of jokingly said, these aren't like in Hogan's Heroes, right? I mean, these are very sophisticated concrete tunnels. It must be a tremendous difficulty and challenge for the Israeli military.
And that's their number. They have clearly stated their number one goal is to take the tunnels out. Because if they take the tunnels out, the fight will be much easier for them. That has been their number one goal. That's the number one objective right now is to take the tunnels out. Because you're right, they're amazing. The only tunnels that I compare to what they have over there is between North Korea and South Korea. Because I was over there for a year, and I was the aide for a general. I got to be...
You mean Korea or Vietnam?
No, in Korea.
Korea. Okay.
Right. Oh, yeah. They have tunnels that you can drive a Jeep through.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they have continued. This was 1978, 79 when I was there. And they had... The U.S. side, we had discovered a new tunnel. And so the general went up there to look and everything and closed it down. But, I mean, you could drive a Jeep through it. That's what the Koreans did. And it's very interesting. If you remember the movie We Were Soldiers, you remember the tunnels that they had to get down to where Colonel Moore was and everything.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing the same thing in a city with Palestine and what they're doing, and the tunnels are the biggest concern for the Israelis. They can handle everything else easy. They have got to take the tunnels out, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah, and doing it very methodically as well. All right, when we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Colonel Danny McKnight, and you're welcome to join us as well. 407-774-8255 is the number.
American adversaries are here, and you know every day at 5 o'clock except Saturday, and we'll be back.
All right. Ever feel like you're caught in a crossfire? We got a man in the studio today that literally was caught in a crossfire. And, of course, that was on the streets of Mogadishu. And you can get a book that Colonel McKnight has written. It's called Streets of Mogadishu. And it's not only about the Somalia and what happened in Mogadishu, but it's also about leadership and leadership qualities and skills. It's an excellent book, especially for that young person in your life that you're, you know, concerned about them making the right decisions in life, even though they are oftentimes the hardest decisions to make. This is the book for them to read, Streets of Mogadishu, and you can get it personally autographed, excuse me, by Colonel McKnight. Simply go to Danny McKnight, that's M-C capital K-N-I-G-H-T, or DannyMcKnight.com, and they just follow the instructions there, and they'll ship that book right out to you. It's an excellent book. I want to get back to Colonel McKnight right now. You know, we were just talking during the break. I did not know that there were tunnels, you know, that the North Koreans, and that this is recent history. This is not back in the 50s when the Korean War was going on, or perhaps they had them back then too, but this was back, as you said, in the 70s, and that the South Koreans would find them and shut them off. And then you went on to make another observation, and which was what would happen perhaps if the United States wasn't there?
Well, we are there, and therefore South Korea is still South Korea, and North Korea is North Korea. Because if we were not there, we would have had happen what has occurred in Iraq, where the bad guys come back.
Right.
They have no concern about the fighting forces there, and they take back over. And I believe still, I know they slowed down. They're still in charge of most of the outer cities, but I believe they'll get Baghdad in time. I really do.
Well, I think it's a smart strategy on their part, because for one, Baghdad is overwhelmingly Shia Muslims. It is a city. It would be a very large city with, I think, a couple of million people, if I'm not correct. And it would be a difficult task for them right now. Why do that?
No.
Yeah, that would only jeopardize what they have already accomplished. So they're sealing sort of their own little border, their own little country right now. They're sort of, you know, cleaning up. By the way, they've run the Christians out. Abu Baghdadi, the self-proclaimed, you know, second coming of Muhammad or whatever it is, has declared, and Saturday was the deadline, that if you were a Christian, you had till Saturday to get out, or you had these options. If you wanted to remain a Christian, you had to pay a tax to be protected. Okay, you basically buy protection. That's what it is. Or you could become a Muslim, or you could be killed. Those are your options. And that would not be happening in Iraq were we still there.
Exactly right. I mean, it is so simple. That is such a simple thing to say, because it's true. And if you look at the history where we have helped countries in the past and we're still there, they're still in pretty good shape. And I think Laura mentioned Japan, et cetera, et cetera. You go to Europe and look at Europe. You know, we have had an impact on the way the world is, and we are falling on the wayside right now.
It's called
protection.
In terms of
pattern away.
Protection.
That's right.
Well, and it's called taking care of your gains. I mean, look at what we have relinquished in Iraq and the precious price that we paid for that. And a lot of people, you know, like Obama, always never should have been there in the first place. Well, that's too bad. If you think that now as president, if you were president back then and you had that opinion, it would have mattered. Now what matters is to make sure that what we have gained there, we do not lose. Well, he didn't do that.
What about those purple fingers?
Yeah, well,
they never had that before.
Oh, that's exactly right, because it just so happened I was speaking in Enterprise, Alabama at a church, and there was a lady there, and she spoke before me, phenomenal lady, and she's in Mariana, yeah, Florida now. She's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
She held her purple finger up and said it was one of the proudest things in her life. Now, that speaks volumes right there.
It sure does.
But, you know, what? Yeah, we just can't walk away. See, what I would ask the president to do, sit down with about 10 or 12 soldiers who are missing a leg, missing an arm, got a traumatic brain injury, and ask them what they thought that he was willing to walk away and let Iraq be taken back over by the bad guys. Ask them, because I promise you, he wouldn't want their answer.
That's probably why I didn't ask them.
Exactly.
Let me ask this. General, I believe it was General Jay Garner, he was temporarily actually in command of the Iraqi forces before he was removed, and I believe Paul Bremer was put in charge. This was prior, just after the fall of Baghdad, and it was before the insurgency began and all of that. I mean, it was very shortly after, basically, I believe it was before we captured Saddam Hussein, but it was after the fall of Baghdad. Jay Garner was in there just for a few days, and basically he was a take-charge kind of guy, and I always thought maybe it would have ended up a whole lot better had he been left there. But he was pulled out, and Paul Bremer, a diplomat, was put in there. And it was Paul Bremer who ended up disbanding the Iraqi military and really making some decisions that later on in retrospect looked like they were maybe not well thought out. And now Jay Garner is saying that he was in the paper the other day quoted as saying he thought that the Iraq war was a mistake from the very beginning. What do you think about that?
I do not think it was a mistake from the very beginning. I think we went there for a very good reason, because there was a very bad situation in many ways. You could relate it to something like Mogadishu, just on a bigger scale. You had a man that was just absolutely a dictator. He wasn't a leader. He was a dictator. And then you had two of the worst people that we had to deal with was his sons. All of those people over there were just absolutely brutal. People were dying then. We went there for a very, very good reason. And I know people say, well, we didn't find any of the weapons of mass destruction. I know, isn't it amazing? Syria ended up with so many of them. I wonder how they got there, you know? So, I mean, all of that matters. And we did go for the right reason. We made a difference. We gave them a chance. The problem was we walked away from them. We walked away from them about 6 years ago. We started doing that when the new president came in, and then he made that statement he was going to do it, and he did. And now they have fallen back into the same kind of situation. I disagree saying it wasn't worth doing.
We snatched defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yes.
All right. Barack did. Let's go now to John, who's calling, and he has a question for Colonel McKnight. John, thank you for calling. And your question, please.
My question would be, why doesn't in the Palestinian case, the Saudi Arabians or any of the other countries that surround Israel over there that are also Muslim absorb the Palestinians, because there never has been a state of Palestine. The Palestinians that want to live peacefully in Israel are there, you know, and get the war and all the crap over with if they truly, you know, want peace over there. It doesn't seem like it should be that hard to rectify unless there's something for them to gain by forever fighting.
Well, I was going to say, in a couple of ways, the answer is in your question, but I'll let Colonel McKnight address it.
Well, that part of the world, as we know, is much different than what we would like for it to be. Israel is one of those countries and the people that we should never shy away from supporting. And I don't feel that we've stood up to that level like we have in the past currently. We're trying to make them seem like the bad guy, and that's wrong. The other countries that are over there, they are weak in terms of making a commitment, and they don't want to go to one side or the other. They'd rather just be left alone, let the Saudi Arabia people say, leave us alone, we're okay right here. But we did support the overthrow in Egypt and Libya, and boy, those really turned out well. So see, the problem is they don't have a clue over there what the peace is like that we have in our country, even though we want people to have that, and there's nothing wrong with wanting others to have that. But they don't understand it, and all they want to do is constantly, constantly fight.
John, does that answer your question?
Well, I don't understand it, but yeah, it answers it.
Yeah, well, also, you know, the Saudi Arabians, for a long time, many of these Middle Eastern countries wanted a Palestinian-Israeli conflict because many of these countries don't like Israel being a part of the Middle East. And so they have supported the terrorists. in their own right throughout the years in order to be a thorn in the side of Israel. It's power politics on a geo-global scale. Unfortunately, people die every day as a result of it. But thank you, John. We appreciate your call out there, and thanks so much for listening. Okay, folks, when we come back from the break, we're going to have today's episode of The Dumb and the Feckless, and we'll get right back to Colonel McKnight. We'll be talking about the VA scandal in the next half hour, and Oscar Dennis is going to be joining us.
The best talk, the best chatting going on about politics in Central Florida, the American Adversaries at Drive Time, and we will be back after this news break.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart for SoundbiteRx.com. Going to give you just a few of the brand new stories today at SoundbiteRx.com. Did you hear about Governor Rick Perry sending his National Guard to monitor the border between Mexico and Texas? And there's a great story at SoundbiteRx.com today about that. And we had been calling for that right here on the American Adversaries. Hope the rest of the border states do exactly the same thing. And did you hear about President Obama's LGBT, and that's not a sandwich, folks, executive order against religious freedom? If you haven't, go to SoundbiteRx.com. You'll find out all about it. Guess who's not talking to President Obama anymore? Well, amongst other people, Prime Minister Erdogan of Turkey, who is had been a key ally of ours in Middle Eastern affairs. Well, I guess we can. I guess that's all part of the reset that President Obama promised us upon first election. And there's a great article there today about the Iron Dome, and perhaps it is not as iron as it appears to be. Also, the IRS story is being hammered now by guess who? The Washington Post. Look out, White House. When the Post goes after you, you know, that's deep throat stuff there. Remember, folks, SoundbiteRx.com is the best medicine. It is the cure for ignorance. Please go there. Take it. It's good medicine. We'll be right back. Welcome to today's episode of The Dumb and the Feckless, the true story based on Edward Klein's number one bestseller, Blood Feud, The Clintons versus the Obamas. We go now to the White House, summer 2013. Barack Obama and Valerie Jarrett were in the Oval Office. She had made sure that all four doors of the room were closed so that no one could hear her deliver a stern lecture to the President of the United States.
"A red line," she said. "Where did that come from?"
Obama had his feet up on the Resolute desk. He was staring across the room in the direction of Rembrandt Peale's painting of George Washington, trying to avoid meeting Jarrett's eye.
"You weren't elected to be a war president," Jarrett said. According to her recollection of the Oval Office meeting, which she passed on to a friend, "you were elected to fix things here at home. You have to roll back that statement."
Jarrett was furious at the way Obama's red line and flip-flopping on Syria had exposed him to the wrath of the entire Washington establishment, Republicans and Democrats alike. Even the normally docile mainstream media, which cut Obama masses of slack, were questioning the president's competence. Columnist Richard Cohen, a reliable voice of liberalism on the Washington Post op-ed page, declared that Obama's Syrian policy was both intellectually incoherent and pathetically inconsistent, a red line that came out of nowhere and then mysteriously evaporated, and a missile strike that was threatened and then abandoned. It was a policy so wavering that if Obama were driving, he would be forced to take a breathalyzer. And New York Times columnist Maureen Dowd, whose mordant sense of humor sometimes enlivened the gray lady, sighed, "Oh, for the good old days when Obama was leading from behind." Once again, through a combination of inexperience, ineptitude, and a misguided understanding of America's role in the world, Obama had made the United States look like a paper tiger. And his bumbling leadership abroad reached a low water mark at the same moment that the signature legislation of his presidency, Obamacare, started to unravel. Tomorrow, more from the dumb and the feckless. Brought to you once again by Roxy Pacifics, the great stuff, all natural kelp water, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, good for whatever ails you stuff. You can buy it. You can get it shipping and handling free this week at roxypacifics.net, R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X.net. And now, back to the American Adversaries Drive Time. Take it away, Larry.
Larry? I do know we have Mr. Dennis that has joined us now, and he is our executive producer, of course.
And, of course, you folks can join us as well. 407-774-8255 is the number. I'm Christopher Hart. That is Larry Adams. And we have our defense expert on the show with us today, of course, and in the studio. That is Danny McKnight, Colonel Danny McKnight. And you can get his book, Streets of Mogadishu, at DannyMcKnight.com. We also have Mary Ganster of OS 91. That's Operation Safety 91. Where can they visit you at, Mary?
OS91.com.
There you go, OS91.com. And we do have our executive producer, Nostra Dennis, on the line. Nostra Dennis, how be ye today?
I am well. And in fact, I want to start off with a question. You're talking about the Palestinians before the break. I want to ask Colonel McKnight, is it true, what I've heard, that the Palestinians and the Arab world are basically the redheaded stepchildren? No nation really wants to absorb them in, correct?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Who would want them? I mean, tell me a good reason to, and, you know, there is not one. And you're right. They are the stepchildren, to say the least.
And they serve a useful purpose when they're not being absorbed by one of the other Arab nations.
Right.
It's geopolitical gamesmanship.
Yep.
And as I said, it's a tragic thing, and because a lot of people suffer as a result of it, and Israel cannot live in peace. And they are willing, more than willing, to live in peace with their neighbors, whoever their neighbors may be. And I think it's quite obvious when you examine the situation over there that that is the case. And as far as people out there who say, well, you know, Israel, that's occupied land of Palestine. Well, Palestine didn't exist until the Roman Empire basically created it 2,000 years ago because they were drawing borders all around the place. And
you know, every place in the world is an occupied land.
And
Native Americans owned this country, so to speak.
That's right.
Before we came over and settled it. Everyone's got a prior claim on land that used to belong to them.
And I'm here to tell you, the Jews have been around a lot longer than quote-unquote Palestinians have, and living right there in that part of the world. So they have just as much claim to that land as anybody, and they're willing to live there with the others. With them, it's not an either-or. With them, it's both-and. With the Palestinian leadership, anyway, it's either-or. You know, either you go or we kill you. And unfortunately, that's been the situation. Nostra Dennis, that you brought that up. I want to go to the VA thing, but we have another caller with a question about the Palestinians. So let me go to Joe now, and we'll come back to Nostra Dennis. Joe, your question, please, for Colonel McKnight.
Not really a question, but it's a comment. The Palestinian people were never a real people. They're Jordanians. They came out of Jordan. Now, prior to May 14th, 1948, when Israel became a nation, the plan of the Arabs and the Muslims were, if you notice, all the Arabs left that wanted to leave, but they told all these other Jordanians to stay just to cause all these problems, and they've been there ever since. And the term Palestine was because of one of the Caesars, Hadrian. He hated Israel. He wiped the name Israel off every known map and called them Palestine only because it was a burr in their crawl because of the Philistines, who was an ancient enemy of Israel. That's where Palestine came from.
There you go. Thank you for the history lesson.
And you're welcome, sir.
You can find that online. Yep, you're absolutely right. And so, as I said, you know, it was basically drawing borders back then, too. So thank you very much, Joe, for that call. We appreciate you being out there. Nostra Dennis, I want to go back to you. You have another question for Colonel McKnight.
Yeah, Colonel, we were talking earlier in the weekend. We don't know the answer to this. I'm hoping you do. One of the things that was used both in the first Iraq War and later on were these bunker busters, and in conjunction with them, the U.S. has technology that can basically find tunnels underground from a long ways up in the air. Is that kind of technology something that is available to Israel so that they can find these Palestinian tunnels and basically cave them in before they get used anymore?
I would be shocked if they did not have them. Israel is not any backyard army that was put together and not capable of doing most everything that we can do, in all honesty. They're very, very sophisticated. I have no doubt in my mind that they have the ability for that capability to be bunker buster with their weaponry. But I also think the Israeli mindset is, in a way, sometimes we do this too, which I think is the right thing. We think that the technology is there. It does it. But, you know, until you get your eyes on it, you put your hands on it, you're not sure it's done. So when you want to know that tunnel is closed, you want to be able to stand at one end of it and say, they're not getting through now.
Okay, and the other side of that, too, Colonel, is sometimes that tunnel makes a mighty good mouse trap.
Very true. Very true. It just sets you up in a very big way. Exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have to be careful, but I think the technology is there, in my opinion, Nostradamus, but I still think they're going to be sort of like us, and we're going to put our hands on it to make sure.
Yeah, you want to put eyeballs on it, so to speak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask a question to Colonel McKnight about the Israeli military. Of course, you were a Ranger Battalion commander, and you were in the military a long time, saw a lot of action. Did you ever train or work with the Israeli military?
Yes.
Can I ask you some of the details? Or was it were you like working with their special ops guys?
They had people come over to us here in the States, and quite often they were training, you know.
Training with us.
With regular soldiers. They'd go to the infantry school, for instance, at Fort Benning, Georgia. And that is a great relationship to have, because to me they are the power in the Mideast, and they're the ones that we need to stay close
support.
To. And I've said that before on this show. Don't make an enemy out of somebody that wants to be your friend, you know. And we've had a president trying to do that pretty strongly, and it really bothers me because they're one of the greatest fighting forces that I've ever been associated with. So I have had the opportunity to see them train with them, and it works both ways. I think it is a great relationship that's probably not as fostered today in our country as it should be.
Okay. Nostradamus, yesterday Colonel McKnight was on Neil Cavuto, and they talked. I believe you guys talked about the VA scandal, didn't you?
Yes, it was very brief for me because there was a guy on there who's talked forever because he's in love with Obama. I think that's the former mayor of New York City.
Oh, no.
Yes,
Michael
I
Bloomberg.
Heard that.
That was him, yes. He happened to be in Israel at the time, and I was. It was probably a good thing I couldn't talk. Because they didn't have mine on at the time, because he and I are on different sides of the world.
Boy, he sure tried to sound conservative, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, but it wasn't even close,
no.
Was it? No.
Nope.
No.
One of the issues, though, is that, of course, President Obama didn't hear about this until supposedly it came out in the news, but now he's saying he never listens to the news, so I guess I don't know what that meant, but he... fired or asked to resign the last head of the VA. He has appointed a new guy for the head of the VA, but it's been slow going to get him approved. And Nostradamus, I believe, has an update on that. Dennis, please.
That's
tell us
correct.
About...
This guy is named Robert McDonald. He's from Cincinnati. He's the former chairman of Procter & Gamble Corporation. So he knows how to run big companies with big budgets. So
did you say Ronald McDonald?
Robert.
Oh, okay, Dennis. Sorry. Right.
Yeah, his
another clown.
His younger brother. I don't think this guy is a clown. Tell us more about him.
Well, he's a 1975 graduate of West Point, and Danny, maybe you can weigh in on this. He served as an Army Ranger in the 82nd Airborne Division.
Well, that means if he was in the 82nd Airborne Division, he was Ranger qualified, meant he has a Ranger tab from going through Ranger school. But if he was in the 82nd, he was not serving in a Ranger unit. And there's a difference. Ranger school means you get Ranger qualified. It is a big step to ever getting in a Ranger battalion. But being in a Ranger battalion as part of the 75th Ranger Regiment is a way of life. And there's a difference in the two. But, yes, I did know he was a West Point graduate. Yes.
Do you think if he's confirmed that military experience will serve him well as head of the VA?
I would say it this way. It should serve him well if he wants to do the hard right thing for the VA, but let's see if he becomes a politician first or he stays the hard ground and leads it like a military guy should for the VA. And I have, you know, isn't it interesting, though, that President Obama, I remember his comments when he said it angered him so much that this had happened.
Right.
And that he just didn't really know about it.
Right.
Well, he admitted then he was a failure as a leader of the United States of America and taking care of our veterans, okay? He admitted it right then and there. Now, he gets, you know, General Shinseki steps aside, gets fired, whatever you want to call it. General Shinseki moves on. He then names somebody. Why is it taking so long to get this guy confirmed? And if we don't hurry, it won't be done anytime soon, because guess what happens next week for Congress? They're getting ready to go on summer recess.
Yep.
It's vacation
time. Just like,
and we're not going to have a head for the VA. How can we fix something that's broke when nobody's in charge?
Yeah, and the president's going on vacation, too. Surprise, surprise. When is he not?
He's on vacation all the time.
Yeah, nah, he's out to lunch all the time. Nostradamus, there is bipartisan, a lot of bipartisan support to get this guy through.
There is. Folks on both sides like him. And, in fact, the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee yesterday had a unanimous vote to send his nomination to the Senate floor. They are tabbing him to be approved next week.
So they're going to try to get it done next week. Well, that's Harry Reid, though, pushing it to the last minute for you. I'm sure he's probably working to try to get something out of it in the meantime, knowing dirty Harry Reid. Before we go to the break, Colonel McKnight, I want to ask you about something, because I get a lot of questions from listeners about this. And it has to do with now Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, because the investigation was conducted and now he has been reinstated as a sergeant and given a desk job. And is that typical of an ongoing investigation, or would under normal circumstances he be waiting right now in the brig for the investigation to be carried out?
No, I think what was done was there was an investigation done initially that has been sealed until 2016. That was an investigation that was done when he disappeared.
Now, why would they have sealed it till 2016, other than the obvious answer?
When's the next election?
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
All right.
Enough said on that one. Okay.
Yes, all right.
Now, the investigation now that they are conducting, and it's going to take some time to get it done. To do that, they needed to put him back in full service on active duty, okay?
Right.
Because if they have to interview him, they need to make sure that he is on duty, on duty. And it was very interesting when all that occurred that they put him back on duty, okay, you know, and everything. I understood that part of it. But what really jumped at me was the first thing I heard was he still has not talked to his parents.
Yep.
Refused to do that. But he's got a civilian lawyer. Now, why did you jump out there and get a civilian lawyer unless you're really worried about something?
Mm.
He is, without a doubt, okay, a deserter, as a minimum.
Right.
If the investigation is done properly and they interview the people that were there with him, and I've talked to a family of a mom and dad who lost their son, Lieutenant Andrews, trying to find him. If they do it properly, he will be charged more than just as a deserter. It will go to the next step of being a traitor and conducting treason, which I think he did. Personally, that is my belief on everything I've read and heard.
All right. You know, and he has not contacted his parents, and I think they're part of his problem. I mean, they're a couple squirrely people, I mean, to say the least.
Yeah, you saw his dad, the pictures of his dad and everything, et cetera.
You know, totally his statements.
I would not be surprised if his father knew what Bo was up to and even egged him on because of his opinion, you know, of us being in Afghanistan. You know, it's these liberal, whacked-out left-wingers who will basically go to any length. I mean, when you have people in Palestine, you know, the Palestinians sacrificing their children for the cause, don't think that it can't happen here, mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got some guy, some looney tune like this kid's father, he's a big part. That's the best news I've heard, is that they have not been in contact with one another, to be honest with you, as harsh as that may sound.
Yeah. But it makes you just, I mean, I think about if I had in the military in my career ever been taken as a POW, then I'm out. And if I had told my parents that I didn't want to see them, the first thing my father would have done was showed up, okay? And it wouldn't have been a polite showing up, let me tell you.
Yeah.
No. See, there's something really strange. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
You're right on the money. Yep.
All right. All right, and you're right on the money as well. That's why we have love having you on the show with us. And, ladies and gentlemen, we love having you out there as well. 407-774 is the number. 774-8255 is the number. And when we come back, Nostra Dennis will join us again. And please don't go away.
You got to keep them separated.
That's right, folks. Welcome back to the American Adversaries.
Got them keeping separated. Is that Israelis and Palestinians?
That's something to do with it. But here, this is where we separate fact from fiction, truth from lies, and people with integrity from people who lie. So welcome back to the show. That's right. We are the American Adversaries. Christopher Hart, Lair Adams in the studio, Nostra Dennis over at headquarters. We're all going to converge along with Colonel Danny McKnight and Mary Ganster, both with Operation Safety 91, along with Linda and Paris. We're all going to converge over to Cafe Positano here in just a few minutes. But in the meantime, Mary Ganster is once again with us, Operation Safety 91, and Colonel McKnight is, of course, the national spokesman for Operation Safety 91. And it's a great organization, and folks, everybody should have one of these cards. Now, Operation Safety 91 is dedicated to getting these cards, which is Psalm 91. The protection prayer, the soldier's prayer, into every first responder's pocket, hand, whatever. Keep it in their shoe. And that includes military and civilian responders. So if you know anybody like that, they need to have this card. If you want to help them out, go to os91.com. And Colonel McKnight carries his in his wallet, and I carry mine in my wallet. And it's mine's got dog ears on it for me pulling in and out. And I see Colonel McKnight has the right idea. He's got it in the clear section of his wallet where you can see it there. Mary, you also are helped out by Your Side Ministries.
Yes.
And they've got a great program they've put together.
They do. And this is given to OS 91. Dave Gillum wrote One Nation Under God. And this is a musical video testimony presentation program that it actually debuted May 24th. And Ed saw it. And that is a new dimension of Operation Safety 91. Then the second one was Memorial Day. Now it's going to be at By Your Side Ministry Theaters, which is in Winter Garden, the north side of Highway 50, right behind Taco Bell. Everybody can find a Taco Bell.
Sure. Which is on Highway 50.
On Highway 50, on the north side. And this is going to be the second, third, fourth, and fifth Friday and Saturday nights of August. So it's almost here. And this is an amazing, if you are a patriot, if you're politically incorrect, if you want to know the Christian heritage of our history in America, you will love this program. It is so inspiring. It's electric.
And what time does it start?
You know what? I don't know.
Well,
I think
we'll
it's around 6:30.
Okay.
But anyway, it's already on buyyoursideministries.com. Go to the box office tab, By Your Side, and buy is B-Y, yoursideministries.com. Go to the box office tab, click on that. You need to reserve a ticket. All tickets are free. They take a donation because it's a dinner and it's the program. You must reserve a ticket.
Because it's very limited seating.
It's very limited. It's a small theater in Winter Garden. But do not despise small beginnings. This is an extremely powerful program.
And what is the fellow's name that wrote it?
Dave Gillum.
Dave Gillum was at the memorial service for Ed last week, and he did a whale of a job, as all of the speakers and the singers did.
I know it.
And we miss Ed, and we know he's in the right place.
Oh, yes. He's with Jesus.
Yep, I know. The next time I see his smiling face, I'll know I'm
You're
in the right
Jesus,
place.
You're with Jesus, right?
Absolutely right about that. That's One Nation Under God is the name of the program. You can find out about it and reserve your seat by going to buyyoursideministries.com, and it's August 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, and it's in Winter Garden.
No, it's the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th Friday and Saturday nights.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. All right.
Presentations.
So there's five weekends in August this year. Okay.
Right.
So excluding the first weekend of August, it's every Friday and Saturday night in August.
August.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yes, sir.
And what performance are you going to, Colonel?
Well, I haven't talked that over with my bride yet. But, and looking at my schedule is really pretty easy. Right now, I know on the 15th and 16th, which I think is the third. It's the third Friday. But anyway, I think it's that those 2 days that I'm going to be able to make it, in all honesty.
Oh, real quickly, just got this from our man Carl Jackson. Of course, has a great radio show of his own every Saturday morning right here at 8 a.m. He says this. I think he's talking about you, Mary. He says, that lady is the bomb. What a rock. Tell her I said hello.
I love you too, Carl.
All right. Nostradamus, you want to say goodnight for us?
Yeah, and I want to ask Mary, at your service for Ed, which was incredible, who was that in the front row that kept on shouting, yeah, and amen, and it just sounded like you were at a Baptist church or something. Was that you?
Yes, sir.
Well, amen to you.
Thank you,
Bob,
for
you
coming, Dennis.
To see Dennis.
All right. Thank you, Nostradamus Dennis.
Well, the thing is about Ed, he's the kind of person that could get you up off your seat and make you do something. And I think that's a wonderful tribute. Folks, American Adversaries are here. We'd like to say goodnight, especially from Colonel Danny McKnight and Linda. We'll see you tomorrow.
660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative, AM 660, The Answer.